And so let's go ahead and commit this time to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for you. Thank you for calling us to you be your own. Lord, thank you for this gathering that we have today. Thank you, Lord, that you brought us together to bring us encouragement. Thank you that fellowship in this manner is your idea. And thank you that we were all invited. Thank you for giving us the yes today, Lord. And thank you for those who are viewing online, Lord. And Lord, thank you that all over the world you're being worshiped. And you are worthy, Lord. And Lord Jesus, I just surrender myself to you. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to speak of your goodness, Lord. Thank you so much for all that you're doing. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the joy that you fill our hearts with. Lord, thank you for the worship team, Lord. Thank you for the songs that went up, the hallelujahs. And thank you, Lord, for ushering us into your presence through them. And Lord, thank you for all that you're doing today. We surrender ourselves to you for your good, your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So thank the Lord for the month of August, when Pastor Dan gets to relax a little bit. I don't know if he's really good at relaxing. Is he, Laverne? Laverne says he's not really good at relaxing. I suspected that. But thank the Lord for this opportunity. It really is a wonderful opportunity. And I rejoice in every opportunity that I get to speak well of my Lord. Because he is all that, isn't he? Hallelujah. He is all that. And our words, they just never seem enough. Our praise doesn't seem enough. And so, you know, I always say to the Lord, I say, Lord, if I get up there and I just say, Lord, I thank you for saving my soul, I'm happy, Lord. I got that out. So hopefully there'll be more than that this morning but whatever the Lord does is fine with me.
Amen.
You know that he's the one that calls us into fellowship. And I remember the Lord speaking to my heart as a little girl, and I often share that. I was a young thing. The Lord revealed himself to me, saved me at 6 years old, and I knew him since then. He never left, and he won't ever leave. And when I, you know, came to him, I think you've heard me say that there was a little revival service. And I went and where I was in Jamaica, and we lived in this courtyard, and this minister was preaching, and I snuck out the house because my mom actually was in bed sick, but I wanted to hear what was going on, and I was peeking through the window. You know, the buildings, you know, there's nothing on the windows like here, they're just open. And they started singing that song, and you've heard me, and I just have to say it. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And I just started weeping outside the window. And I knew the Lord came into my heart. I said, yes, Lord, I want you to come in. And at 61, he came to stay. And I'm so thrilled. I am rejoicing every day. And, you know, as you heard last Sunday from our brother Avon, God introduced himself to him when he was hiding in a trash can. I said, Lord, you are just amazing. And I just thank the Lord for that powerful testimony last Sunday that the Lord revealed himself to him. And, you know, he worshiped God, just like, you know, the scriptures tell us about Cornelius. He was a worshiper of God, but he hadn't met Jesus. And that's what Avon shared with us last Sunday. And there are many that acknowledge that there is a God. And it's hard to, you know, to say there isn't. There is a God. But then God sent his son. And the son gave his life. Hallelujah. And we are forevermore saved. And, you know, this the topic of this message this morning is, going to get into it, Jesus, where I live. Jesus, where I live. And I wish that there was a better topic, but I couldn't come up with anything else, so it stays. Jesus, where I live. And our text is going to be John 10:10, and then we're going to, you can find it in your Bibles, because we're going to read the first 10 chapters. And then our text verse is, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. King James says, and have it more abundantly. I love that. So if you can turn in your Bibles to St. John, the 10th chapter, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. I tell you the truth, and this is Jesus speaking, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I thank the Lord for his word. And the main idea is that he came to give us life. And yes, to walk with us through life and to make our life full. Without a doubt, Jesus came to us in the right way and for all the right reasons. You know, this passage began with Jesus telling them a story about a shepherd. That's something they could all understand in that day and time. And, you know, I was reading it. I said, well, Lord, if you were telling that story today, what would you give us as far as, you know, to help us to understand what you were getting at? And I don't think the Lord would maybe use sheep and shepherd with us because, you know, we really don't know much about that life, do we? He said, there is a watchman at the gate. And he knows the shepherd will open the gate for him. He said, there are others, though, who are up to no good. They won't come in through the gate. So if he was telling this story today, I think he would say something like this. Be on the alert for phishing schemes. Hackers will come in and they will make themselves appealing, familiar. But their intent is harm. They want to install malware, such as ransomware. They're sophisticated. Allowing the hacker to observe everything while you're the victim are going through navigating your website. So he would say, they come at you from a place that seems familiar. And the fishing these days, it makes you something that you think you're going to click on. You know, yesterday I got a text saying, your Amazon account is in danger. Call this number. She's like, huh? What? So, and our jobs, you know, they're always there. They, you know, give us training every year about phishing. You know, be on the lookout. If the email address has misspelled words, or, you know, all the different tactics. But some of the tactics are very much believable, and they're, you know, it's they can get you. So Jesus would say, let me be your own VPN. Let me be your own virtual private network. Everywhere you are, that's where I'll be. And I want to be there only for your good. So a VPN, you know, I was trying to figure some stuff out because I was feeling a little vulnerable. And so I was looking at the advertisements, and so this one advertisement said that virtual private network, it would keep my IP address invisible, at least difficult to be accessed by the wrong people. And then it would provide threat protection on all my devices. And so, you know, if I turn my phone on right now, I'm going to have a little scroll that says, we are watching for hackers. On all my devices, and even the ones that I didn't name, somehow this virtual private network offers me threat protection. There's even a kill switch, which will cut the internet connection if my VPN stops working. So Jesus would say, let me be your virtual private network protection. I will come and be everywhere you are, and simply to make life better. I have no other agenda. And that's what this text really said to me. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that you may have life and may have it to the full. And he is everywhere I am. And, you know, as a new believer, or even not just a new believer, but walking through life with Christ, I had all these ideas that I can only have access to Jesus under certain circumstances and in certain situations if I came at it the right way. And that if I didn't approach him in the right way, that my access would be denied. Or if I had things in my life that he wasn't pleased with, my access would be denied. If I didn't say it quite right, if my prayers weren't the right wording, my access would be denied. Jesus says, watch out. The thieves and the robbers that come to take from you. I have provided unlimited access, life, and that more abundantly. And, you know, as now I'm learning, I feel, you know, like I'm just learning all over again, almost every day, like what this access to him really means. And it is a wonder. It is glorious. It is more than I can imagine. I can't even grasp it as he shows me this unlimited access to him. He is everywhere I live. I couldn't, you know, everywhere, in everything. And so, you know, I started to ask the question, so what is making life abundant? What makes the abundant life abundant? And one of the things that, you know, as this passage brings out in John 10, is his full knowledge of me makes the abundant life abundant. His full knowledge of me. Jesus said in verse 3, I know my sheep, and they know me. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them in and out of pasture. And, you know, one that he was given his story, he says, you know, this shepherd, no matter how many sheep he has, he's named them. So when Dorothy goes over the hill, he's like, let me see, Dorothy's not here again. Okay. It's Dorothy that's missing. A good shepherd has named them. You know, there is something about when somebody knows your name, when they have taken the time to know your name and to address you by your name. I watched Nanny McPhee for the first time in my life a couple weeks ago. Now, if you haven't seen that movie, she walks in, and these kids are horrible, past horrible. And so one of the first tricks they decide to pull on her is to give themselves a different name so she doesn't know who she's talking to. But if you've seen, how many of you have seen Nanny McPhee? Nanny McPhee knew their names. She walked through there and she said, and you are this one and you are that one. And they were like, how in the world does she know that? And you know, there is just something special. And we sang about this last Sunday, you know, that he knows my name, and we sing it often. But he knows so much more about us. Whether he says he calls his own sheep by name and leads them in and out of the pasture. So whether you're in the pasture or whether you travel out, he is going ahead of you. That's what he said. He says he goes ahead of them. So he's preparing. So, you know, maybe it's rough terrain, but because the shepherd is there, it's a pasture. It's lush, and it has everything that they need out there. And that's the same thing with us. Sometimes we go out, and we experience some rough terrain. And we think, I don't know, Jesus, I don't think you're going to follow me this place. You're not in this place, are you, Jesus? And what he's been showing me is that he is in every place. He will never say, oh, I'm just going to let them go out there. If they want to experience that on their own, let them. And you know, he is not like us. Sometimes, amen. Sometimes we think that the Lord is like us. He wants to teach us a good lesson. He's not like that. That's not who he is. He never shoos us out and saying, all right, fend for yourself. You made your bed. You lie in it. That's not who he is. He says, I came so that you would have life and have it to the full. He cannot go back on his word. That's just not who he is. Whether you're in the pasture or wander out in the fields, he is there. And he knows your search history. You know? That network surfing, and you know, there's this thing, no matter, you know, you go to a website, and the next time you come up, it's like, oh, they knew I was here, because all my familiar stuff comes up. Sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's not. But he knows our search history. We're in this his private network. He's never going to use our search history against us. That's not why he came. That's not why he came. So that's how he shows up where I live. And he's increasing my awareness of the robbers and the thieves that assail me. He said in verse 7, all who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. So when the one who comes to steal my peace of mind shows up, the awareness that my loving Jesus has given to me and is giving to me has led me to now ask a question. What am I believing about this situation that is not true? Every thought that comes into our head is not correct. And doesn't have to take home. And we don't have to sit on it, put it around and around, and accept it. It's just our way of, you know, we got a mind, we got all this information coming in through our eyes, and all, you know, the plethora of things. But we need to ask ourselves that question. What am I believing about this situation that's not true? There's a little devotional book that Kimberly gave to us women one day, and the title of it is Simple Abundance. And in one of the excerpts on this book, it was under the topic of ask, ask, ask. And that was the excerpt. And she said, there's a simple abundance test. And I love that phrase. And our thoughts need to pass the simple abundance test. Is this the abundant life that Jesus promised me and said was mine? Is this thought process making me feel abundant? Is this, Lord, I don't feel very, I've said to the Lord, Lord, I don't feel very abundant. Why is that, Lord? And as I've said often, when you talk to the Lord, he talks back. So let that thing that comes to rob you, it's out there. Jesus said, look, they're thieves and robbers. They're coming to take from you. Remember what I came to do. So now that Jesus has made us his own, all of who I am belongs to him, including my thought processes. My mind is under new ownership. And we have to stand on his word. There is a verse for it, whatever it is. And think, you know, I will Google for a verse. And I'm, okay, thoughts. What are all the verses about thoughts? And if you don't find a verse for your situation and for your thought process. Call Pastor Dan. He'll give you a verse. No, I'm just joking. No, just see if he's paying attention. No. You can call me. We'll find that verse together. We will find that verse. 1 Corinthians 2 says, we have the mind of Christ. And I will stand on that. I will say, I have the mind of Christ. It says it right here. It's not passing the abundance test. So what's going on? And in that same passage, you know, in 1 Corinthians, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. We can't even imagine what God has for those of us who love him. We cannot even imagine it. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. We have not received the spirit of the world. And we just have to stand on that. I have not received the spirit of the world. Lord, what is your Spirit revealing to me? He is not hiding himself. He has it all out there. He's right there where we live. He's not going to go and wait for you to come out of that place. That's not his way. He's not sitting there wondering, I wonder how long they're going to be in that place. That is not his way. He walks with his sheep. He says that he leads them in and out. So when we're feeling like we've fending for ourselves, I've really done it to myself this time. Remember what he said. I've come so that you will have life and have it more abundantly. He wants to be a part of what we think, how we think. So we have to ask him that question. We have to ask ourselves that question. So what is true about this? So I experience his abundance and his knowing of me, his knowledge of me. Another way that I experience his abundance is in my conversations with him. Jesus, with his full knowledge of me, entreats me to ask. In the 10th chapter of Mark, there are a couple of instances where Jesus said to different people, what do you want me to do for you? And he asked the blind man, this man that was blind from the time he was born. And, you know, he hears this Bartimaeus, you know the story. He hears this commotion. He doesn't know what's going on because he can't see. And they say, it's Jesus. That's what the commotion is about. And he starts screaming, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He can't see him. He doesn't know where he is. But he starts calling out. And Jesus stops. He goes over. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? Do you think he knew? This man... Jesus knew. And what I love about the abundance of having a conversation with Jesus is that it's relational with him. It's about me having a relationship. And we're always talking about our relationship, right? Well, the conversations we have with him, we can have them because we know that it's about a relationship. We know he knows. But there's something about talking to him about it. And so, you know, I hear him saying, well, Grace, what do you want me to do for you? And I love it because he's always saying that. What do you want me to do for you? And he also asked this question to his disciples. So I had to share this conversation that Jesus had with his disciples. And it's in Mark 10. And, I'll paraphrase for the sake of time. James and John came to Jesus. But before they asked their question, they felt a need to say to Jesus, Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Have you, you know, it's like a three-year-old. They come and they say, I have a three-year-old granddaughter now. And, you know, they know exactly what they want. And they also know your answer. So here the disciples, they're saying, now, before we ask this question, we just want to, you know, kind of get this straight. And, you know, I've had a three-year-old do that to me. So can you say yes to whatever I ask? I'm like, it depends. No. Just tell me you're going to say yes to it. And Jesus, you know, we are just like that. We say, Jesus, this is what I want. I need you to say yes to it. Jesus, are you saying yes yet? It's abundant. I love it because Jesus allows me to come to him with this stuff. He does. And it's abundant. So the disciples, James and John, you know, they come. And so their question to Jesus, and you probably remember the story. He says, we want to sit at your right and at your left. That's their question, Jesus. Jesus, we just want to get this straight. Now, first of all, Jesus, before we even ask the question, just, you know, do what, because they probably, you know, Jesus probably already told them, ask for whatever you want. And so they're like, okay, Jesus, this is what you said. Okay. So this is what we want, though, Jesus. We want to be able, when you get up in your glory, we want to be your right, at your right and at your left. I find it intriguing that the disciples felt the freedom to be their full selves with Jesus. So, you know, even that they felt that they could come and ask Jesus this question. And this is where I discovered that Jesus is right here where I live, in the place where I want significance. He's right here in that place. Yeah. They want significance. I can relate. The abundant life for me is realizing that I can be my full self, even in certain moments when my full self is not my fully transformed self. Lord, I know this probably ain't exactly right. But can we talk about it? And Jesus says, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. And you know, that's a beautiful thing about relationships. It's not one-sided. It's about more than one. It's about two. And Jesus says, okay, when he gave us life. Now it's about him and me. And it's not about Dave, Gene, and Jesus. It's about Gene and Jesus. And it's about Dave and Jesus. Yeah, they united. Yeah, they won. But it's about Gene and Jesus. There's a song that says, nothing can ever take your place. And Jesus wants us to know that. Your spouse can't take his place. Don't expect them to take his place. They don't know you like that. They will never know you like that. And you know, our sister Laverne, we're in the Bible study, and we're discussing Jesus knowing us. And she says, "No, I've been married to Pastor Dan for 15 years, and we're still getting to know each other." She says, "Jesus doesn't have to get to know me." I was like, "You better preach that word, sister." Amen. And we have to remember that. We put too much on other people, expecting them to be who they cannot be. Only Jesus can be that to us. I'm not even going to try. Well, I might try. But I'm going to try with the realization that, and with the humility that, that's not who God made me to be everything to you. He is everything to me. He is everything to me. So let your loved ones off the hook. Go to the one who said, "I have come so that you will have life and have it to the full, have it overflowing, have it abundant. Come to me about that." So where was I, Lord? So I was talking about how, you know, that I could come to Jesus even with my full self in my moments when my full self is not fully transformed, right? And the scriptures tell us that. It says that he made perfect forever those who are being made holy. My status with him is that I have been made perfect by his one for all time sacrifice. But my process with him is not done. It's not static. He didn't start with me and then, okay, you had, no. He will never be done with me. We get done. Sneaks up on us. Sometimes we don't know we're that close to being done. But all of a sudden, we're done. Thank you, Lord. He's not like that. He is never done. Never done. Isn't that abundant? Isn't that just overflowing? Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. How long? Until he comes and gets us. Now, I have in my notes now, if that isn't abundant living, I don't know what is. Confident that he's not done. Say to self, he's not done. We want to be there, but even when we're done, he's not. And he has strength for us in those moments. So, you know, Jesus, you know, that, so, you know, James and John, they're like, "Can we sit on your right and your left?" And Jesus goes on to explain to his disciples that the place at his right and his left is not his to give. And that's for the Father to give. So first he explains that. But then the other 10 disciples, it says in Mark 10:41, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. What makes y'all two so special? And I love this in verse 42. It says, Jesus called them together. And he said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Even I didn't come. And I just kind of picture him bringing them together. Said, come, let's talk about this. He says, I came to give my life as a ransom for many. A ransom. In our place, we deserve to be separated from God. He came in our place and said, I'll experience all that was going to be put on them. I'm coming. So he puts his own self. He says, I came to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus said, here, take me and release them. That's what he did. I offer myself for your freedom. And now we can say, if the Son has set us free, he is our claim to freedom. He's the one that has set us free. So Jesus says, there's no need for you to be bound or chained to a desire for recognition. You are already seated with me in the heavenly realms. Peter, one of the indignant ones at that time, would later go on to write in his letter. He says, I have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. That's where Jesus took him, to that different place. And Jesus knows the desire for significance is really a desire for security. Because if we're in that significant place, then nothing can touch us, right? We want to be the ones that make the rules, right? We want to climb that ladder. Because significance represents security in a way. And Jesus says, I'll be your security. I'll be your security. All you need is me. And I'll put you where you need to be. So his conversations with us is abundant. I also experience abundance in the conversations I share with you all. Oh, it's abundant. My conversations with you. Something I cherish. And, in Bible study, we're taking a break this month, but in Bible study, we've been studying Exodus. And the last Bible study, Exodus 33, it was talking about how Moses would erect a tent outside the camp. And so that anyone that had an inquiry of the Lord would go out to the tent. to make their inquiry, right? And then, but when Moses went to the tent, it was quite a spectacle. There is a cloud that would come down and sit in the front of the tent. Wow. And all of the Israelites, they would come out of their tent and they would stand and watch because they knew that God was meeting with Moses. Isn't that glorious? So, Pastor being the master question person that he is, he had the question for us in Bible study. So what is the tent of meeting under the new covenant? And this is when it got gooder and gooder. This is when I was experiencing the abundant life in this conversation. Because, you know, we're on the Zoom call, but they get the little twinkle in their eyes. And they put up their hands, and they interrupt each other. And, you know, it's like, oh, no, Don was first, and then it's, and then it'll be you. So, you know, Pastor's hoarding us all in, you know, because we're like, yeah, I want to testify, yes. So, you know, some of the answers that came from that question, I was just, it was not what I was thinking. And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit in you shares what he has for me through you. And it's, ooh. And so, you know, I have reams of notes from you all. And I go back and I read it. And I was like, what is it that Miss Mary said? That was that one thing that touched me so amazingly. And, you know, some of the answers were, as far as the tent in the new covenant, what does it represent? And some of the answers were, well, the temple is our bodies now. The scripture says our bodies are a temple. The amazing work of Christ created an eternal temple. Make my notes right. We now meet with God face to face, friend to friend. And then Miss Mary said, the glory of God comes from us. I was like, ooh, yes, amen. I love it. You think about that cloud that would come down and what a magnificent, you know, picture that must have been. Now we enjoy that among each other. The glory of the Lord emanates from us. Oh, it's abundant. I'm hooked. And lastly, praise the Lord. I experience his abundance as I witness his transformation of me. I'm intrigued, anticipatory, constantly amazed to see what he's going to do next. He is actually transforming me. You know, I've been praying about a situation. I've asked you all to pray about a situation. That at my job, you know, there is a class that they would like for me to teach on Saturday and Sunday. Just love Kaiser, don't we, Gina? And so I've asked you all to pray, and I've been like, Lord, no. And sometimes, you know, my prayer is, Lord, please, Lord. And then other times, it's kind of an angry prayer. It's like, I have done my share of weekends. I've been a nurse for how many decades? I did my share. So sometimes, you know, that's where I am. I refuse. And then all the time, it's like, Grace, you can't refuse. I'm turning this, and I did. You know, I turned in some paperwork, you know, that, you know, I could turn in for, you know, a religious accommodation. Like, they're not having my Sundays. They can't have my Sundays. That's just the way it is. And I get on my knees and say, Lord, they cannot have my Sundays. And And I asked you all to pray in the Bible study. I'm like, you know, prayer meeting. I'm like, please pray for this. And so, you know, it came to a head last week, and our director says, okay, everyone must sign up for one weekend shift. And so I was like, okay, I'll just sign up for Saturday. That'll work. But then there was a member on our team. She's got a new educator, and she was so distressed, and she called me. She's finishing up her graduate program. She has things to complete her practicum. That's what she's doing on the weekends. And she is distressed. And so, talking about the transformation the Lord does. So I said, well, go ahead and sign up for Sunday just to have it there. And when it comes up, I'll work it for you. I was like, it's like, Lord, really? And then I say to her, we're going to get through this together. I was like, Lord, you did it again. You transformed me. Lord, I couldn't believe the words that were coming out of my mouth. I'm going to work it for you. That was the Lord. That was the Lord, his care for others. That he keeps doing that. He's helping me to care about stuff I never cared about before. Seeing people the way I imagine he sees people. That's him. That's part of the abundant life that he came to give us. We don't have to be chained by our own way that we are. We are not chained to that. What did y'all just sing? Give up and let Jesus take. Y'all better sing that. Y'all sang it. Jesus will change you. I'm like, Lord, what am I saying? Where is those words coming from, Jesus? How did you do that? How did you move me from this place to this place? So I'm intrigued. I'm like, Lord, what are you going to do next? Because he is up to it. And guess what? I can trust him to transform others. And, you know, something, I was praying for the Lord to change somebody. And I was talking in earnest to the Lord. And as we're talking and walking, the prayer changes. And in my heart for this person, the Lord is like, Grace, first of all, why do you have an awareness that this situation in this person is something that needs to be changed? I gave you that awareness. Who changed you to make you aware that this needs to be changed? You did, Lord. Okay. Trust me for that other person. And now while the Lord is doing his work, now, sometimes, you know, and he will show us, sometimes, you know, we may not be able to interact with them in certain ways, right? We have to remember, and then we often reminded by, you know, that the Lord's work is never at our expense. So he doesn't want you to be a punching bag. He doesn't want you to be denigrated. He doesn't want you to be, he doesn't want any of that for you. But we can trust him to transform that other person. Trust him. Bring him into that conversation and said, you know, and I was telling the Lord everything about that thing that needed to be changed, Lord. Just need to be changed, Jesus. And the Lord said, look, I changed you. Because he gave me faith in him for that person. So he moved me to a different place. So, you know, experiencing his abundance, Jesus right where I live, right in every situation where I am, Jesus is right there. And so, you know, when you see me, I may be having one of those days. Pray for me. Believe God for me. Believe that sometimes God is showing us something, and ask him, say, Lord, so what do you want me to do about this? And if the Lord leads you to sometimes see that thing, when he may want you to address it. But know this, he has a way of addressing it that is different from our way of addressing it. The way he addresses us is always with tender care. I think about when those disciples, it says that he brought them together. He said, come on, let's talk about this. And so he will do that with us. He says, okay, he'll give us a heart of compassion. So when we go and talk to that person, it's not from a place of annoyance, you know, primarily. And if we do it wrong, and, you know, we have our humanness, we will. There's grace for that. When we do it wrong, actually, that's an opportunity I'm learning. That when you've done it wrong, then the Lord has opened up a door to fix it even better. Lord, I messed up with that. I'm going to fix it. I can fix it. Now when you go, you have to go now with a true heart of humility. Because you didn't do it right. Just tell them that. Say, I didn't say that right. But here's where I was coming from. So forgive me for that. But then there's this thing that I want you to consider. The abundant life is a transformed life and a life in process. It's abundant. It's full. It's overflowing. So yes, Jesus is everywhere I am, opening my eyes, breathing life into areas that once were dead. He's everywhere I am. And yes, it is abundant living. And that's all.